God is good. And all the time. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Excellent. Excellent. Well, welcome to First Church. Isn't it just a beautiful day so far? Yes, I welcome you here and I thank you so much for being here. My name is Eric Dirks, and if you're visiting with us, we put out a special welcome to you today as we begin our worship service. If you would turn with me to the announcement page of your bulletin real quick. All of these, as always, are important announcements, but I want to lift up just a few here. Right after worship today, well, I shouldn't say that. You'll probably have to leave pretty quick after worship, but at 1 o'clock, we're at Heights Point Camp. And it's United Methodist Day. What we did is we just invited area United Methodist churches to be with us. And so come and bring, you can see it right there, United Methodist Free Day at Heights Point Camp. Bring a dish for an indoor potluck on Sunday today. Indoor and outdoor swimming, canoeing, and more. I assume the canoeing's outside. But anyway, it'll be a lot of fun. And we can just hang out together as a church and eat, of course, right? When a church hangs out, we have to eat, don't we? Yes. Are you out there? Are you awake yet today? But anyway, out in the entryway, there are little slips of paper that have directions to Heights Point Camp. They're on the table right there behind Debbie. So if you would... They look like this, and they're in the entryway by the prayer box. So please grab one of these so you know how to get out there. It should be a lot of fun. Now, youth, 12:30 here at the church. Meet at 12:30 here at the church to go to Heights Point Camp. And we'll take the van or vehicles, depending on how many youth show up at 12:30, so that you can experience that as well. Obviously, if you go with your families, that's awesome. But you're welcome to meet here at 12:30 to leave and go out there with the youth. Something else very important that's going on this week is Vacation Bible School. You can see the decoration here, and if you've been out in the hallway, you've seen it, and downstairs. So it's going to be a lot of fun. If you have kids that age, make sure they're involved. It's going to be a great time. I know it is. Now, in your bulletin, you have an insert, and you can sponsor a child for Vacation Bible School. And so we invite you to think on this and pray on this. Deanna Spencer. Yes, right here. Not Debbie, it's Deanna. She's going to be out in the entryway, and if you would drop your this along with your donation in the bucket that she's going to be holding, that would be awesome. Something to keep in mind, for all registered children, lunch will be served to them. And so that's a ministry that we're trying to provide for Vacation Bible School. It'll be a great time, galactic blast, and it'll be a lot of fun for the kids. So make sure that you bring your kids, or if you have neighbors, bring the neighbors' kids. Whatever it takes, get them here, because it'll be a great time. So the third page of our bulletin is our connection card. I invite you to turn to that and fill that out. You may have to fold it back and forth a couple times, but it does tear off. If everyone would pay attention to both sides of this, that would be great. And those who are visiting us today, would you please put your name, address, telephone number, your connection information on there so that we can greet you properly and say thank you so much for worshiping with us. Also, we have a study guide that goes along with the sermon today that you can take home and keep beside your, what I call your prayer chair, along with all of the prayers, joys, and concerns that we have as a church community. Are you ready for an awesome worship service today?
Yes.
All right, let's have an opening prayer, and then Dorothy will bring our prelude to us. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. We thank you, Lord, for a church community that loves to hang out together and just have fun and just bring joy to each other's life. And that's what First Church is all about, God. And so we ask for your powerful anointing to be with us today as we worship you. You know, we give you praise for the freedom to be able to come here without fear, Lord, and worship you. What a blessing that is. And it's all because of you. And so we just ask for your presence in this worship service. Help us, Lord, to, Lord, I guess just anoint us in a way that our worries are washed away. And while you're at it, Lord, just make all negative thoughts and evil run scared from your presence. Because we love you, God. And that's why we're here. Heal us in every way that we need healing, Lord. We love you so much. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Make us one with each other and one with you. Amen.
Stand and sing a song of praise this morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Page 140 in your hymnal. seated, and it's time for the kids to come on down. It's Kids Corner.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. Come on, join me.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, I love you.
Good morning, good morning. I'm so excited I get to travel this week. And guess where I'm going? Into outer space, not Nebraska, into outer space. I'm going to the creation. Turn around and look behind you. We have a control room. We're not going to touch anything today because I'm not sure. Well, they don't trust me with all the directions, okay? And over there is the airlock, and Pastor Eric closed it earlier so we don't get sucked out, okay? Everything is really good, and I've got so excited about studying about this because, oh, goodness, that can just go down here. Unlike my friend Debbie last week who didn't pack her Bible when she was traveling, I've got mine. And if we look at the very, very beginning of the Bible, what does it say? Its name is Genesis. Say that. Correct. It means beginning. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We're going to go back to creation. And God said, and if you look at chapters 3, 6, 9, 14, and God said, let there be light, let there be water, let there be animals. And then he created man. God's voice did all that. And then we go on to Psalms. And don't you know in Psalms 29 it says, in verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. And that's what VBS is going to be about this week. I can't wait to share it all with you. Let's say that, and I want you to sign with me, okay? The voice. Make the letter V. Put it at the bottom of your throat, and this is your voice. The voice of the Lord, take your L, remember, it goes across your body. Lord is powerful. Do powerful. Good. The voice of the Lord is majestic. Majestic. Isn't that a neat sign? Majestic. And we're going to learn to praise God. So praise, for the word praise, you clap your hands. Let's do it. Praise God. God is the big father, and you bring your hand out like a shepherd's crook, because he is our shepherd, his son Jesus. Good. Our God is awesome. Everybody, praise God. Our God is wonderful. Praise God. I don't hear you out there. Oh, you're signing. Okay. All right. You have permission to sign and speak, okay? Here we go again. Our God is awesome. Praise God. Our God is superior. Praise God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, as we go about your business this week, help us to remember to praise you, to sit still and quiet and listen to you. Repeat after me. Our God is wonderful. Praise God. Let me hear it. Our God is awesome. Praise God. Our God is magnificent. Praise God. In Jesus' name, we pray. All God's children said,
amen.
Oh, come on. All God's children said, amen. Thank you. Now, you have a galactic quest of your own to do. You're going to be collecting money from these peons out here, okay? And when you fill up the fish over there, you need your energy spice. And so you have, each of you get a candy cane, okay? So, Okay, Idella, that'll you help. Can have a candy cane too.
Oh, thank you. That'll help us remember that shepherd's crook.
God. Okay. God is the big father, and you draw, it's like a shepherd's hook, you know?
Okay, while they're collecting for missions, we're going to be singing Wonderful Words of Life, page 600 in your hymnals. Attention to prayer this morning. In the Bible, it says that our prayers are like wonderful smelling incense burning on the altar of God. So that's great imagery for our mind to think of what our prayers mean to our God. So as we go to prayer this morning, let's think on all those wonderful things that we can put before God, and one of them is the people. It's especially sweet to God when we pray for our friends and family, our church family, and we have a list of all those who are needing prayer in our church here on the back of our bulletin. Not only those in our church, but also those in the nursing home and assisted living, and we have some servicemen who we need to pray for also. We need to pray for servicemen all over this world. And I'd ask that you'd keep this by your prayer chair this week and just lift those people up and make beautiful, wonderful smelling incense on the altar of God with our prayers. Before I go to prayer, though, I do have two thank yous to read. One is, Dear First Church, thank you for all of the gifts and prayers. Both of them brought me comfort and courage through my surgery. I knew before, but I definitely know now that when I need help, I can look to you guys. And that's from Paul. And the second one is also from Paul. It says, Mom and Dad, thank you guys through my time of need. If it weren't for you, I don't know where I'd be. Thanks a bunch. I love you guys, Paul. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your graciousness and your goodness. We thank you for your might and your sovereignty. We thank you for your mercy and your loving kindness. We just love you because you're awesome and wonderful and beautiful, and we just adore you and worship you this morning. We thank that. Thank you so much that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of this, we can put our faith and our trust in you. We thank you for the miracles you've worked in our lives. We thank you for the challenges and struggles that you've helped us through. And we're thankful that through them we've been strengthened and have grown spiritually. We thank you for your written word that gives us instructions for our daily living, and it gives us hope for tomorrow. We lift up before you those that we're most concerned about this morning, those that we've mentioned. We lift up the sick and the hurting among us. We ask that you give them just what they need. We know that you know them each by name, and you're able to do much more than we could ever ask. Please give them healing and encouragement. We also lift up in prayer our nation, our state, our communities. We ask for your guidance for our leaders. Help us find solutions to many issues we're facing. We ask your continued blessings on this country, and we pray for the many servicemen that are serving around the world. Give them your hand of protection and your comfort as they face hardships far from home. Help us as your followers to be aware of opportunities to speak to others of your love and your plan for our salvation. We just ask, Lord, that you'd bless in our service this morning. Help us to continue to worship you in our heart, our mind, and please give a special anointing to the sermon this morning. Open our understanding of your word by your Holy Spirit. Help us to learn more about you and help us to apply it to each of our lives each day. All this we ask and pray in your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Idell. Our scripture for today is taken from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. If you have, I hope you brought your Bibles from home. If you did, please open those up to the Gospel of Luke, or otherwise grab a pew Bible and follow along. Now, if you don't know, where is the Gospel of Luke, in the Old or the New Testament? New Testament. So turn more or less to the back of your Bible, and you'll find Matthew as the first book of the New Testament, then Mark, and then Luke. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We'll begin with verse 38. And by the way, while you all are looking for that, if you happen to have picked up a black Bible, I have lost my preaching Bible. And all the words are worn off the outside. So, but anyway, if you happen to find a black Bible that, you know, I don't know. It's just not here. So look at it and see if it's mine. You'll know, I'm sure. It's pretty tattered. But anyway, once you find that, Luke chapter 10, verse 38, would you please stand with me? Keep your finger in that Bible and raise it high above your head. Let's say our Bible pledge loud and proud today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing with me as we read Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, we learned today that Martha was distracted by her many tasks. I guess I have a couple questions for us today. How many people, male or female, can relate to the Marys out there? Sitting at Jesus' feet, right? Yeah. Now, don't be confused. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. How many can identify with her? Now, guys, you can raise your hands too. It's all right. We understand. This is not... But anyway, how about Martha? How many identify with Martha? Yeah. Well, I am definitely a Mary, and anyone who knows me very well knows that I don't worry about a thing. Actually, probably I'm a little bit of Martha and a little bit of Mary. What do you think? Depending on the situation, depending on the day, depending on how I feel, I might be a little bit more Mary one day and a little bit more Martha the next. Do you think we all are to a certain extent in that regard? Yeah. You know, Jesus said that Martha was worried and distracted about many things. And if we were to think about it very long, we'd realize that most of us, like I said, identify with Mary some days and Martha at other times. But, you know, the Gospel of Luke pulls this out to us. And I guess as I was studying for this and thinking about this, I'd have to say that probably Luke is one of my favorite Gospels. And I really can't put my thumb on why, but like Luke 15 is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. And so I guess it's not a far reach to think that Luke is a favorite Gospel of mine. But does anyone know what the parable was right before this story about Mary and Martha? Anyone? I know if you've been in worship very long in any church, you've heard about it. You know the story. But can anybody want to take a guess? Good Samaritan. That's exactly right. Good Samaritan. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, Jesus, in that story, Jesus calls us to be true neighbors. And what I'm trying to do here, what Luke did, he pulled together two concepts that helps us be disciples of Jesus Christ. All right? So if you read one story, like today, we're reading the story about Mary and Martha, and if I only read that story, we would get half of the message, so to speak. If you only read the story about the Good Samaritan, you get half of the message. And so we have to put them together to get the whole message. Now, Jesus, in the Good Samaritan parable, Jesus calls us to be true neighbors to other human beings by working and serving, by going and doing, even with those whom we may not consider being our neighbors. I mean, think about this for a minute. Samaritans, well, they just weren't liked at all in the Jewish culture, the Jewish society. All right? They were about as far as a positive example for a Jew as you could get. And yet Jesus, in this story, in this parable, uses, lo and behold, a Samaritan talking and teaching a bunch of Jews. He uses a Samaritan as a good example, as a way you should treat people. Right? And so sometimes the people that we may not think about are actually our good neighbors, or maybe we should be neighbors to those people that we may not consider our neighbors. So, you know, for several weeks we've been talking about this concept. Several weeks. We went, we talked about how we need to serve. We talked about our mission statement. We talked about all these things and how this church for many years has been the hands of Jesus to this church, to the community, and to the world, right? As a matter of fact, you know, why don't we just read that? Let's read this together. Our mission, this is First United Methodist Church, okay? Our mission is to make new Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and world. That is, I mean, you could take the Good Samaritan story and put it right on top of that, and that's exactly what that's about. Okay? Now, that all culminated whenever Ignite came home with their sponsors a couple weeks ago and showed us how they were the hands of Jesus. Right? Can I get an amen on that? I don't know about you, but that was just an amazing service for me to see what they did and how they changed people's lives and how God changed their lives through that. So, you know, really, they lived up to our purpose. They lived up to our mission. And what is that again? To make new Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and world. Those adults and those youth were literally the hands of Jesus, weren't they? And they were an extension of this church. Praise God. Praise God. So it culminated in that service. And I have to say, I want to say something here. Weston Miller, isn't he just an amazing preacher? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Weston, very much. I'm retiring next week. You can just take over. How about that? Between you and Paul and a couple others here in the church, you got it down, right? But anyway, so that was the culmination of that Samaritan story, so to speak, how we can be the hands of Jesus in this church, in this community, and in the world. Yet, the very next story that Luke tells us is the story of the two sisters. All right, stick with me here now. So, the first part, the Samaritan, is the go and do. Jesus says you need to go and do. As a matter of fact, if you look at the beginning of that story, it talks about your salvation is hooked on to the fact that you go and do. Right? Don't ask me how. That's just the words of Jesus. All right? So, now we come to the Mary and Martha story. And Jesus essentially disciplines Martha for working so much. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her. Now, the message puts it this way. Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. So what can we learn about this story of the two sisters, Martha and Mary? Well, maybe to understand both sisters' point of view, we need to step back a little bit, and we need to understand that this Jesus, this Messiah, this rabbi, was the one that thousands of years before the Jews had been praying for. Okay? Thousands of years before, the Jews had been praying for this rabbi, this Jesus, this Messiah, this anointed one, to come in their midst. And for thousands of years since that time, right? People have prayed. Haven't you prayed in Jesus' name? I hope you have. And so from Martha's point of view, all right, and all you Marthas in the room, male and female alike, you'll appreciate this. Okay, so this, from their perspective, this well-known rabbi, that's in, from their perspective, he's known all over the world. All over the world, right? And he's coming to our house. Man, I got to make sure the gardens outside are perfect. I've got to cook the best meal. I'm going to invite Warren Hunt over so I can cook the best meal that I've ever cooked before. Right? Sorry, Warren, that just came out. Right? I mean, our house is going to look spectacular, right? Jesus is going to think we live in just a pristine house where everything has its place and everything is in its place. Right? So from Martha's perspective, she was honoring Jesus in a way, wasn't she? Because she wanted everything just right. She wanted that meal to be the best she'd ever done in the past. Ever. And ever will in the future. But what about Mary's perspective? You know, I mean, this was the Messiah that people had been praying for thousands of years before. So I want to sit at this man's feet and I want to soak it all in. Does this man really care what our house looks like? I just want to soak it in. See, so quite honestly, I can understand both points of view, can't you? Martha wanted the house, from her perspective and her personality, to be perfect. And Mary, you know what? She just wanted to soak in the moment. Well, the thing we learn from this story is that Mary chose the correct path. It's not that Martha's concept of honoring Jesus wasn't honorable. But according to Luke, Jesus' ministry, according to all the Gospels, but as far as this story in Luke, Jesus' ministry lasted 3 years. And thousands of years before, people were praying for this moment. As a matter of fact, if we go to Luke, the same chapter 10 and 23 and 24, if you want to turn with me, this is what Luke tells his disciples in private. Luke chapter 10, verse 23. Then turning to the disciples, Jesus said to them privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." You see, Jesus is saying, Martha, what you're doing is great, but the thing is, don't miss the moment. Don't miss the moment to sit and listen, because you know what? Hundreds of thousands of people have prayed for an opportunity that you have right here before you. So I can understand both Martha and Mary's point of view. Now, a way for us to identify with this story is through worship. Romans 12 tells us that our spiritual worship is a presenting of our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We have to open ourselves up to God when we worship, and we can't do this when we're worried about lunch, when we're worried about our problems at work, or maybe our relationships at home, or our finances. Maybe some of you know this author. His name is Arthur Summers Roach. And he says, "Worry is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained." Think about that. Whether you're worrying about a boy or a girl if you're in high school, or finances if you are maybe have children of your own, or if you're worried about health issues, those worries cut a channel in our minds. And you have to admit, when you think about it, it's hard to focus, isn't it? When you're worried about something, all you can think about is that one thing, that worry. That one worry. And we have to open ourselves up to God when we worship, like today, right here in this place. And we can't do it when we're worried about other things. When we are worried and distracted, we really and truly, think about this, cannot think about anything else. And we have that, I understand how that feels. All of our thoughts are drained except for our worries. And we can't focus on God, and we can't open ourselves up to God and what we are called to do. You know, worry is a universal malady. We spend countless days and sleepless nights worrying. Anybody worry here? Anybody? Yeah, anybody that says they don't worry, I think probably have short memories, right, Marge? Yeah. You know, we can wreck our health and our relationships by our worry, and many of us do. Many of us do. I have counseled so many people in all my years of ministry, and it was maybe a financial stress or another stress in their life, and that one stress just grew and grew, and eventually it just tore their relationship apart. Health. How many people have health issues because of stress? It could be a small thing. For some reason, whenever I became a pastor, I all of a sudden had to start taking stomach pills. Now, in the grand scheme of things, that's not that big a deal, you know? Until I hear of a friend of mine dying of esophageal cancer because of acid reflux. And then two friends. And then three friends. You see, Dad always told me this growing up, and I don't know how quantifiable it is, but there are two things the body can't handle. One is fire, and two is stress. Stress has killed many people over the years, and quite honestly, it's killing many of us right now. Maybe you've heard it said, "Worry works. 98% of the things I worry about never happen." Anybody ever heard of that? Worry works. 98% of the things I worry about never happen. You've never experienced that, have you? You're not worried about anything, are you? No. Yeah. Jesus says things like this about worry. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Amen to that, right? Today's trouble is enough for today. Can't get any more true than that, can you? Worry shows a lack of trust in God. When we worry, we focus on what might happen. So that means that most of your thought process is taking place on when 98% of the time it never happens. Well, how do we deal with this? I have four thoughts. If you would like to find a pen and paper, I didn't do sermon notes for you today, and I apologize, but if you want to turn over your study guide and write these down, they're pretty simple, just four thoughts that to help us deal with worry. The Marthas of our church, male and female alike. Number one, recognize that we are not in control of very much. Now, those of us who like to control our surroundings, this is a tough one. You have to recognize that, quite honestly, there's not much that we're in control of. As a matter of fact, it's kind of gross, but a professor of mine in seminary used to say this. I remember earthy things. Most of you know that about me now. He said, going into ministry is kind of like throwing up. Sooner or later, you have to do it. And it's true. If you're being called into ministry, sooner or later, you got to just do it. You got to step out there and do it, right? So even some of those things we're not necessarily in control of, but recognize that we are not in control of very much. There's not really much in our lives. I mean, so much in the world that happens to us and happens to those that are close to us, we have no control over. We need to recognize these areas. We need to do our best to plan for them. And then we need to move on. To move on. Two, we need to take responsibility and control of those things that are in our control. Now, I'm going to apologize ahead of time for what I'm about to say, because I know it's going to hit home for a lot of people, and there's no one person that I'm picking on, so don't think that. Smoking. Okay? I have sat by countless numbers of people who have died of lung cancer in my short, how long have we been in ministry now? 17 years, something like that. 16 years. And some of them have said, I mean, not talking to me, maybe they knew the pastor was there, but they said, "Dear God, why are you doing this to me?" And in my mind, I'm going, God didn't do anything to you. Or if it's liver situation and there's been you drink alcohol all the time. You know, there's a sure way to not get a venereal disease. Do I need to speak out what that way is? Abstinence. I mean, many things we have control over in our lives, and we have to take responsibility for those things. It's not our mom and dad's fault. It's not whoever's fault. We have got to take responsibility for that, whatever it is. Okay? So, for those things that we do have control over, we have got to take responsibility for those things. All right. So, three, pray. Pray. You know, I don't know what it is, and if you don't believe this, I really apologize, but prayer, there is something about prayer. I mean, there are things in my life that worry me to death, and I would pray on them, and some take quite a bit of prayer. I'm not going to kid you. But there comes a point, God does something in prayer that just anoints your heart, and you just finally come to the realization, here it is, God. It's not going to add another day to my life to worry about it. Right? There is something deeply spiritual about prayer. Maybe that's why Jesus did it all the time. And finally, trust God by letting go. Folks, on our own, we cannot make it. It is impossible. God has not left us alone. God has given us Jesus and the church, and specifically this church, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only has He promised to be with us always, but also God has told us to come to Him in prayer about all things. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." So, recognize. Let's read this together. One, recognize that we are not in control of very much. Two, take control and responsibility of those things that are in our control. Three, pray. Four, trust God by letting go. In his book, Love for a Lifetime, Dr. James Dobson tells a story of his personal childhood that cuts to the heart of worrying. James Dobson says, "My dad was the original soft touch to those who were hungry. He was an evangelist who journeyed from place to place to hold revival meetings. Travel was expensive, and we never seemed to have much more money than was absolutely necessary. One of the problems was that the way churches paid their ministers in those days, evangelists were paid only when they held revivals. Therefore, my father's income stopped abruptly around Thanksgiving and Christmas, summer vacation, or any time he rested at home. Perhaps that's why we were always near the bottom of the barrel when he was at home, but that didn't stop my father from giving. I remember my dad going off to speak in a tiny church and coming home 10 days later. My mother greeted him warmly and asked how the revival had gone. He was always excited to talk about the revivals. Eventually, in moments like this, she would get around to ask him about the offering. How much did they pay you?" she asked. "I can still see my father's face," James said, as he smiled and looked at the floor and said, "Ah," he stammered. My mother stepped back and looked into his eyes and said, "Oh, I get it. You've given away the money again, haven't you?" "Mert," he said, "the pastor there is going through a hard time. His kids are so needy, it just broke my heart. They have holes in their shoes, and one of them is going to school on these cold mornings without a coat. I felt I should give him the entire $50. Did you catch that? 10 days, $50. My good mother looked intently at him for a moment, and then she smiled. "You know, if God told you to do it, it's okay with me." Then a few days later, the inevitable happened. The Dobsons ran completely out of money. There was no reserve to tide us over. That's when my father gathered us in the bedroom for a time of prayer. "I remember that day as though it was yesterday," Dr. Dobson said. He prayed first, "Oh Lord, You promised that if we would be faithful with You and Your people in our good times, then You would not forget us in our time of need. We have tried to be generous with what You have given us, and now we are calling on You for help." A very impressionable 10-year-old boy named Jimmy was watching and listening very carefully that day. What will happen, he wondered. Did God hear Dad's prayer? The next day, an unexpected check for $1,200 came for us in the mail. "Honestly," he says, "honestly, that's the way it happened. Not just this once, but many times. I saw the Lord match my dad's giving stride for stride. No, God never made us wealthy, but my young faith," now this is Dr. James Dobson, "my young faith grew by leaps and bounds. I learned that you cannot outgive God." Yes, we worry. I don't want you to misunderstand me at all. God gave us a brain, and we need to use it in making as good decisions as we can with the information that we have. There are many things in this life to worry about, aren't there? Money is just simply one of those things. But God really doesn't want us to worry. Because when we worry, it means that we lack trust in God, in His love for us. We need to recognize that we're not in control of all that much, are we? We need to take control of what we take responsibility for what we do have control over. We need to pray, and we need to trust God by letting go. And so today, we've been talking about going and doing, and we had a great example with the Ignite and their trip. But those stories in Luke are put together because Jesus wants us to go and do, and Jesus also wants us to sit and listen. Go and do. Sit and listen. And so as we experience Holy Communion this morning, I do invite you to go and do. But I don't want you to forget to sit and listen. Amen. Gracious God, as we come to you today, we thank you so much for our life. We thank you, Lord, for all those things that, well, you know, Lord, we need you. All those things that tell us, God, we need you. And today, as we come forward for Holy Communion, we ask you to anoint us in a way to open our hearts and minds to you, God, to help our trust grow in you, in whatever is going on in our lives. In Jesus' holy name, amen. As we prepare our hearts and minds for Holy Communion, I invite you to turn to 593 in your hymnals. Here I Am, Lord. We'll sing stanza one. Will all those helping with communion please come forward at this time? Behind the galactic blast here. You know, as we talk about worry, and as I was thinking about Holy Communion today, this is one of those concepts in church. This is something, a gift that God gave us so many years ago to help us with our worry. Because this bread and this juice is to remind us of the wonderful grace and mercy and love that He showed us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so as we take communion today, and as you take this bread, it should remind you that not only did God send His Son, Jesus, but Jesus chose to give His life for you. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? The unfortunate thing is that when God sent His Son or love to this earth, we chose to kill that love. We chose to break that Son of God. And we chose to spill His blood. But God gave us this gift of bread and juice to remind us that something happened on that third day. God overcame not only death, but God overcame our sin. God overcame everything that causes us worry. God overcame everything. And we should, ideally, be able to live without worry because of our Creator God and what He did for us. And boy, what Christians could do if we lived without worry. Can you imagine? Seriously, can you imagine? If you didn't worry, how much of your time could be given to healing and wholeness in other people's lives? So this reminds us of the body that was broken for us. This is the cup of the new covenant that forgives us of the sins, that washes away our sin. Let's pray. Creator God, I thank You, God, for this meal. I thank You for this gift that reminds us of what You and Your Son did for us, did for me, did for every individual. We thank You, God, that our sins are washed away and by our own choosing we can come to Your altar freely and kneel before You. No curtain needs to be in front of us. We don't have any place that we can't go, but because of Jesus' death and resurrection, God, we can come directly to You, and we give You praise and thanks for that. And so we ask You to wash away our worry, wash away our stress. We ask You to anoint this bread and this juice, God, make it truly be Your body and Your blood broken and shed for us. May Your Spirit saturate these elements, God, below and above and around and within. May these elements, this bread and this juice, truly, Lord, take on Your characteristics so that we can become more like You. We love You, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And let us pray the prayer that Jesus Himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Here at First Church, we take communion with bread and with wafers. With the bread, I'll give you a piece of bread and you dip it in the juice. It's called intinction. With the wafers, you can take the wafer and then you have the little cups of juice as well. Both are valid forms of communion and all are invited if you're searching for a closer walk with Jesus. As we serve each other communion up here, would you please prepare your hearts and minds to come forward? In just a minute. Ushers, will you prepare them, please? Are there others who would like communion brought to them?
This time, the ushers will come forward and we'll continue in our worship with the giving of our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all your blessings and all that you've done for us. We praise you for Jesus Christ, and we ask your many blessings on this offering of the good news will go out to all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing song is number 569, We Have a Story to Tell to the Nations. Let's sing the first and second verse.
Let's sing it like we have a story to tell to the nations. How about that? All right. Story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and so much for coming today. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. Don't forget Heights Point. There's directions for you right out there in the entryway. And of course, don't forget Vacation Bible School either. If you have gifts to be given, if you want to sponsor someone, Deanna will be right out there in the entryway as well, waiting for that. Again, thanks so much for being here. And just go out and be the person that God created. Be that person. You see, I believe God put us in a place at a specific time for a reason. Someone needs you in their life. Amen? Amen? Just step out and be yourself. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may you experience God's shalom this week. Amen.